God and begin to bless his holy name. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Let's give him adoration. He's worthy to be praised. Let's thank him for what he did yesterday so that he will do more today. Let's bless his holy name. He's worthy to be praised. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. Bless the King of Kings, bless the Lord of Lords. Bless the Ancient of Days, bless the I Am that I Am. Give him all glory, give him all honor. Worship him. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. He's worthy to be magnified. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless his holy name. Bless the Ancient of Days. Bless the Holy One of Israel. Bless the Rock of Ages himself. Bless our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, the lover of our souls, our provider, our all in all. Bless Jehovah El Shaddai. Bless the God that is more than enough. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Bless him. Is worthy to be praised. Oh, thank you, Father. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Oh, Lord, you're worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship. Now lift your voice to him and say, Father, in my life, glorify your name tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Glorify your name in my life tonight. In every way possible, just glorify your name in my life tonight. Glorify your name in my life tonight. Thank you, Almighty God. Oh, Lord God Almighty, glorify your name in my life tonight. Thank you, Savior. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Almighty God. Hallelujah, Father. Glorify your name in my life tonight. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Please join your hands with your neighbor. And then lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, in the life of this your child, do something special tonight. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Something special, Lord. Something wonderful. Something beautiful. Something glorious. In the life of this, your child that I'm holding, do something special tonight. Something unforgettable. Something glorious. Something miraculous. Something wonderful. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never fail. Ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never fail. Ancient of days, ancient of days, as old as you are, as old as you are, you will never fail. Ancient of days, as Ancient of days, unchangeable changer, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Glory be to your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. There's no one like you. The Rock of Ages, the Holy One of Israel, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who speaks and it is done. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for what you did yesterday. Thank you for the harvest of souls. Thank you for speaking to our future. Thank you because we know that tomorrow will be all right. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Tonight in all our lives, Father, perform your wonders. Do something special. Glorify your holy name. And at the end of it all, take all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. I want you to shake hands with three or four people, prophesy to them and say, God will surprise you tonight. And then you may put those hands together even as you take your seat. As at 8 p.m. tonight, the number of babies born during this Congress stands at 9. Six boys and 3 girls. Let the boy shout, "Praise the Lord." And let the girl shout, "Hallelujah." I'm happy to see more of you already here. But I still want you to tell your friends, those who are thinking of waiting till the weekend, that every day of this Congress is going to be for signs and wonders. So phone your friends, text them, contact them by any means possible, and let them know if they miss tomorrow again, then they would have missed half of the whole thing. So invite all of them and say, tell them, this week, they shouldn't sit down at home. They should come and be blessed. I want to welcome those of our guests who have arrived since yesterday night. You are all welcome. God bless you in Jesus' name. Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11, even as we consider the signs and wonders of the spoken word. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whitherto I sent it. That's the Almighty God speaking. And He's speaking to someone here tonight. He's saying, your tomorrow will be all right. If you are the one, I think I better hear your amen. Whenever you hear us praising God, and calling Him older than the oldest, we're actually referring to one of His titles, the Word. Of all the things that God could call Himself, He loved the Word so much that He calls Himself the Word. He says in John chapter 1 verse 1, John 1 verse 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So He's older than the oldest. This Word also created all things. According to John chapter 1 verse 3, John 1 verse 3 says, by Him were all things created. And there's nothing that was created that was not created by Him. Now, because the Word created all things, that is why it can transform all things. Which is good news for you because it's about to transform your life. He can transform darkness to light. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, he says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And suddenly there was light. And in the name that's above every other name, today, in your life, there will be light. That's why when in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, Mark 10, verse 46 to 52, when Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus sent for him, and he came. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want to regain my sight. All Jesus did was, he spoke, receive your sight. And immediately, he received his sight. And according to the hymn of this Congress, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, all of you with eye problems, you will get your miracle. The word can transform darkness to light, and it can transform emptiness to fullness. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, Genesis 1, 20 to 22, the Bible tells us that God spoke. When he created the earth, it was empty. But when he spoke, waters bring forth, land bring forth, sky bring forth. Suddenly, there was abundance of fish, abundance of birds, abundance of animals. So, this same word is coming out to somebody today who is here empty. Before this Congress is over, you begin to know what is called the overflow. That's why when God wanted to do the impossible for Sarah, all he said is, Sarah shall have a son. And the womb that had been empty for 90 years suddenly began to know that there is somebody new inside. And I'm saying to all of you who are trusting God for the fruit of the womb, in the name that's above every other name, this month, your womb will receive a visitor of joy. This word can bring order out of confusion. It can transform confusion to order. He said, when the world was created, it was without form. It was confused until God spoke. And when you read Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41, Mark 4, 35 to 41, the Bible tells us that when there was a storm, and Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples woke him up, all he said to the storm was, peace be still. And immediately, out of the confusion, order came. And now I'm saying tonight that all of you who might be in any form of confusion, before this night is over, peace will come in Jesus' name. The word is extremely powerful. It is powerful because it has its origin in God. However, we discover that the word does not begin to work until it is spoken. Until God said, let there be light. There was no light. the word has to be spoken before it becomes effective. However, we also know that the moment the word is spoken, it can no longer be restrained, it can no longer be called back until it has finished its job. God said, "The word that is gone out of my mouth shall not return to me void." The words that had already gone to you tonight, to which you had already said amen, is already at work. And it's not going to stop until the work is finished. Whether the word is spoken to heal or to deliver, Psalm 107 verse 20, Psalm 107 verse 20 says, "He sent his word and it healed them and delivered them out of all their destructions." The moment the word is gone out, there's no stopping it. It will just keep on walking, keep on walking. Even if it is spoken to the dead, it can penetrate through into the bowels of the earth and bring the dead out, like we found in John 11 verse 39 to 44. John 11, 39 to 44. Jesus spoke a word. "Lazarus, come forth." And the word went straight into the grave. Grabbed the fellow for whom the word was sent. And brought life back to him. And the one who had been dead for 4 days came back to life. I speak to every dead womb here tonight. I speak to every dead eyes. I speak to every dead marriage. I speak to every dead business. In the name that's above every other name, come back to life. So when you read Matthew chapter 8, thank you, Father. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, there was a time when you were completely down and he brought you out. He asked me to tell you, he will do it again. So when you read Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13, you understand what that centurion was talking about when he said, all you need to do is speak the word only. Just send the word. I think somebody should lift his hand to the Almighty God and say, "Lord, send the word to me tonight. Just send the word to me tonight. Just send the word to me tonight." Now, so we see that when the word has come out of the mouth of God, it continues to perform wonders until it has finished the assignment. But the greater wonder is that just as the word will perform wonders in the mouth of God, it will also perform wonders in the mouth of his prophet. Some of us have never heard God audibly. I pray that God will open your ears. But many times he will send a word to you through his prophet. For example, if you read 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us about a widow with two sons, who was destitute. And the creditors have come to take his sons into bondage if she couldn't pay within 24 hours. She ran to a man of God. If you read that story very carefully, you will notice something interesting. The man of God said, go and borrow empty vessels, borrow not a few. When you've done that, shut the door upon yourself. Take the bottle of oil you say you have and begin to pour out and begin to set aside that which is full. Now, the man of God didn't say, I prophesy that as you are pouring the water, it will be multiplying. No, no, no. He just said this, just go and do what I said. And because the man of God said, set aside that which is full, immediately the power in the world has gone into that bottle of oil. So that when the widow began to pour, the empty vessels began to fill. Today I stand on the authority of the word of God. I stand before you as his servant. I stand before you as his prophet. To say that from now on, everything that is empty in your life shall become full. A young man came to us several years ago. He's no longer so young. And he was distressed because he had become financially bankrupt. No money at all. He came for prayers on this campground in the early days. After I finished praying for him, he said, I know I'm not supposed to come to a prophet empty-handed, but I have nothing. And so, prophet, it is you who will give me the money for transport back home. And I took the little money I had then, and I was very rich in those days, but you know, when two poor people meet, one is still richer than the other. So I took the little money I had and I gave it to him and I said, this money will never finish. He took it and said, amen. Today, by the special grace of God, because I know him, I don't know how many houses he has built. But I know at least two. One in his hometown and one in the camp here. And so I'm prophesying to someone here too. Whatever money is in your pocket now, we never finish. Word of God spoken through the mouth of his prophet is as powerful as if it came through the mouth of God himself. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17, 2 Kings 4, verse 8 to 17, tells us the story of how a woman had taken care of Elisha, and Elisha decided, let's reward her. This woman has been feeding me, has built a house for me. Let's reward her. I said to the woman, woman, 9 months from now, you will have a son. And the woman said, man of God, don't deceive me. And that's a clear way of saying, I don't have faith for a child now. But the man of God has spoken. If you read the story very well, Elisha didn't even repeat himself. Elisha didn't say, whether you believe or not, I've spoken. Once he spoke once, he just kept his mouth shut. 9 months later, the baby came. Some of you will remember the testimony of a couple. They've been barren for years, and they came to us for prayers. And instead of praying, I just asked them, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, of course, I said, what kind of baby do you want, boy or girl? The husband said, boy. The wife said, girl. And they said this simultaneously. So I said, in that case, let's have a twin. One boy and one girl. I'm sure you remember their testimony. Well, maybe I should ask those of you who are here, trusting God for the fruit of the womb. How do you want your twins? So shall it be in Jesus' name. Whether to control the weather, or spoken in judgment, the word of God coming from the mouth of the prophet of God is as powerful as if it is coming from the mouth of God himself. But probably the greatest of all wonders of the spoken word is that in your own mouth, that word spoken can have the same effect. In other words, you can be your own prophet. I was sharing with some of my children not too long ago. I said, I don't get people prophesying to me. So I prophesy to myself. Early in the morning, I stand before my mirror. And if you are standing before the mirror, who do you see? So I point at the fellow in the mirror. Hello, it's going to be well with you today. How many of you believe that your tomorrow will be all right? You better say it with your mouth and say, my tomorrow will be all right. Why? Because God said in Numbers chapter 14, verse 28. I want to say amen to this one before I tell you. God said, there's someone here today. He said, I should tell you, I control time and seasons. And I am going to put an end to your dry season permanently. Numbers 14:28, God said, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. That's why you have to watch your mouth. Because as you are speaking, God is listening. God is hearing. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Say it one more time, my tomorrow will be all right. You remember what David said in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to 51. 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 51. He said to Goliath, he said, I'm not going to just kill you, I'm going to cut off your head. Do you know at the time he was speaking, he has no sword in his hand. Kill, yes, he was going to use the sling and the stone. But cut off the head. He had no provision for that at all. But because he said it, the provision was available. Say it one more time. My tomorrow will be all right. Again, you know the story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, from verse 18 to the end. when she lost that miracle boy. And the husband asked her, why are you going to see the prophet today? It's not the time to go and pay your tithe. It's not the month end. Where are you going? She said, all will be well. When she came to the man of God said, go and ask the woman, what's the problem? She said, no problem. All is well. Turn to the fellow next to you and say, look at me very well, because all is well with me. You better say it as if you mean it now. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 38, Luke 1, verse 34 to 38. Thank you, Lord. I know today will be better than yesterday. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, I know you are believing me for the impossible. He said, I will not disappoint you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34 to 38, after the angel had delivered the message to Mary, you're going to have a boy, etc., etc., and Mary asked, how can this be? I don't know a man. And the angel said, oh, don't worry about that. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Mary said something in verse 38. If I'm to put it in my own language, she simply said, I receive it. Because she said, let it be unto me according to thy word. In other words, what you have said, I receive it. I've told you the story. When I was praying in 1981, my first year as general vicar, Father, now I'm living in one room in Moshi. Please build me a little house, even if it's a boys' quarters. And the Lord said, son, don't ask me for a house. I've decided to build you a city. It didn't make sense. But I said, I receive it. Thank God I told some people, otherwise they would think I'm lying now. I want to say to you tonight, it will be well with you. Do I hear you say I receive it? Lord have mercy. I want you to know one thing. Once the word has gone out, nothing can stop it. Some of you will still remember the story, and I believe it's going to be applicable to someone here tonight. 31st of December, I can't remember the year now, 1980-something, early 1980s. At the watch night service, I was preaching when God spoke to me and I announced it that there was someone in the congregation who was having problem paying his house rent. And God said in the new year, the fellow will become a landlord. Only one fellow said amen. Some of you who know the story, the fellow who said amen was a messenger. How can a messenger become a landlord in Lagos? But he had the word,
And he knew he was the one having problem paying his house rent. So he said, amen.
I'm sure the people around must have looked at him and said,
you of all people. But then New Year came. He went to work and saw the managing director of his company. Fell down as we do in our custom to greet the man. Happy New Year, sir.
And that one looked at him and said, ah, messenger. By the way, did I give you a Christmas present? He said, no, sir. He said, Lagos State was selling some flats. I bid for one. I got it. I don't need it. Come and collect the keys.
I gave him the keys and the address. He went, he located the place.
He was looking for a tiny little flat. Got there and found it was a whole house.
Can this be true? He put the key, the door opened. He went upstairs, look around. This for me. The following day, he went to the managing director. This time he didn't just prostrate, he rolled to the right. He rolled to the left. There's a miracle coming your way. When it comes, you will roll before the Almighty God. The MD said, by the way, is there any furniture in the house?
The boy said, no, sir. The MD said, I change my furniture every Christmas. So the one I used last year, I don't even know where to put them. So he called one of the drivers. Go to my house, load my furniture, old furniture, and take to this boy's house. He entered the new year a tenant. Within 1 week, not only did he have a house, he was sitting on the furniture that the MD was sitting on the previous year. God is going to send help to somebody here today. The question comes, all this thing you are saying, sir, if it is true, and some of us know, we've had teachings on spoken word, positive confession, for years. How come that I have been making positive confessions and I've been claiming and nothing is happening? It is probably because those who taught us didn't teach us completely. You see, the word doesn't just become effective in any mouth. There are conditions to be met. Are you ready to learn the conditions? I didn't hear you now. See, because this Congress is the Congress that is going to transform your lives. Open your Bibles to Job. The book of Job, chapter 22. I'm going to read from verse 21 to 28. Job 22, from verse 21 to 28. And then I will explain as quickly as I can the conditions you must satisfy if from now on you're to become your own prophet.
Acquaint now thyself with him, that's with God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thy heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee. And thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. What are the conditions that I must satisfy, so that when I speak, the moment I speak, it becomes established? Number one, he said, acquaint thyself with God. Acquaint thyself with God. Develop a close relationship with the Almighty God. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1, 1 Kings 17 verse 1, the man called Elijah, who spoke a word, and the heavens were shut for more than 3 years, look at what he said. Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. As the Lord lives, the one I spend time with, the one in whose presence I am constantly found, the one with whom I am acquainted. He said, there be no rain, no dew, unless I call for it. Spend quality time with God. Many of us just want to get up and early in the morning, no time for morning devotion, no fellowship with the Almighty God. We come back late at night, we are tired, we just jump to bed and say, Lord, thank you for today. See you tomorrow. No. It's not those people who can stand up and say, I decree. Quality time with God. The kind of person who will say to the layman by the beautiful gate, I say unto you in the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk, must be somebody that people will know had been with Jesus. Quality time with God. That's number one. Number two, he said, acquaint thyself with him. Oh, thank you very much, Lord. The Lord asked me to tell a lady here, pregnant lady, the pregnancy is threatening. He asked me to tell you, it's not coming down. Amen. The Lord said, there's someone here tonight. He said, this year things have started picking up. He said, by next year you begin to soar. Now he said, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. The one who is going to speak and it will be established must be at peace with God. He must be at peace with God. What does that really mean? It means you must have settled all situations between you and God. There must be no area in your life where you are still struggling as to whether I want to obey God or not. Do I want to do His will? Is this one possible to be done? Is the Bible really true? Did He really say this? Oh. Joshua. In John chapter 10, Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 14, Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 14, the Bible says, Joshua spoke and said, "Sun, stand where you are. Moon, stand where you are." And immediately, the sun and the moon obeyed him. But what kind of person is Joshua? He's a man who has resolved everything. He's the one who said in Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua 24, verse 15, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It's a settled matter. Do you know many of us still struggle as to whether we should pay our tithe? Oh, many of us say, "All right, we'll pay our tithe," but the issue of first fruit, oh my, we don't even want to hear it. I remember some years ago when I first began to teach the payment of first fruit to some of my children somewhere, highly educated people. They came to me and they said, "Sir, everything you have been teaching is all right. This first fruit business is Old Testament." I said, "Is that so?" They said, "Yes." And we are now in the New Testament. You know, at times you can become so intelligent to become a fool. I said, "So we should just stay with the New Testament. Let's forget the Old Testament." They said, "Exactly." I said, "Oh, I see. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that in the New Testament? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Is that in the New Testament? I shall live, I shall not die, and declare the works of God. Is that in the Gospel according to St. Matthew?" For you to be at peace with God, you must surrender completely. I said, "Thy will be done." When you get to that stage, when you are absolutely at peace with Him, I'm not struggling, anything you want done, that's what I will do, then you begin to qualify to speak a word and get it done. I've told you that when I was young, many a times, when I'm playing with my colleagues, my mother will call me and say, "Son, go and fetch water." You know, we got our water from the village stream. Many of you don't know what that means now. There's water just gushing out of the tap in your room. And I will tell my mother, "I'm not going, I'm playing. I'm enjoying myself with my friends." And she will keep quiet. Sooner or later, I will say, "Mama, I'm hungry. I want food." And Mama will say, "No problem, food is here. Hey, go and fetch water." "Oh, let me eat first and then I will go." "No, you go and fetch water." And I will cry and cry, and she won't budge. The same is true of God. You do His will, anything you ask for, you will get. And then He said, "Lay up His word in your heart." Study the word. Memorize the word. Some of you can tell us every news item on CNN for the past 6 months. But if we ask you what are the memory verses in the Sunday school, last week Sunday, God have mercy. Lay up his word in your heart. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3, Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3 tells you that blessed is the man who will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who will not stand in the way of sinners, who will not sit in the seat of the scornful, but is going to meditate on the word of God day and night. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible tells us, God spoke to Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Many of you spend day and night discussing politics, discussing the situation in the country, instead of meditating on the word of God day and night. And then he said, if iniquity be near you, put it far away from your tabernacle. The one who is going to speak and get it established immediately must have zero tolerance for sin. Iniquity must be put far away from you. Because he says, as I hear in my ears, so will I do unto you. But then he says in Psalm 66 verse 18, Psalm 66 verse 18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you are prophesying, and God said, I'm not hearing. It is what I hear that I will back up. You see the link between that and memorizing the word of God. David said in Psalm 119 verse 11, Psalm 119 verse 11, he said, thy word have I kept in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. You meditate on the word of God day and night, you keep the word in your memory, it becomes difficult to sin. You know the story of Samson very well. Judges 16, verse 20 to 21. Judges 16, 20 to 21. He said, I will get up as before and go out as before. I'm sure the devil must be laughing at him and say, not this time round. Because sin has broken the link between you and God. And it's interesting that, number four, he says, pay your vows. Or is that four or five? Five. Pay your vows. What has that got to do with my speaking and it become established? Because the Almighty God says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4, Ecclesiastes 5 verse 4, he said God is not interested in fools. That somebody who made a promise, I made a pledge. I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to do that for God. And then the fellow refuses to pay. The Bible says he's a fool. And God says in Psalm 14 verse 1, Psalm 14 verse 1, he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the one who does not pay his vow is the same as someone who says there is no God. How do you expect that the Almighty God will back what that fellow will say? Do you know two people can prophesy? One will get the answer, the other will not. And you begin to wonder why. Consider the example of David and Goliath. If you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 44, 1 Samuel 17 verse 44. Goliath also prophesied. He said to David, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your flesh to birds of the air. David also prophesied, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to cut off your head. One failed, the other succeeded. Tonight I'm going to give you time to pray. And you're going to pray like you have never prayed before, because tonight you're going to be praying prophetically. That's why before we begin to pray at all, because this is the night of the spoken word, anything that can stand between you and God hearing you tonight must be settled. Which means, if you are here and you have not even surrendered your life to Jesus, if your sins are not yet taken away, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says it clearly. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. He said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is there heavy that he cannot hear. He said, but your sin, your iniquity have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. If you are still living in sin, he won't hear. But glory be to God, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ is and cleanses from all sins. In other words, you can come forward tonight, surrender your life to Jesus Christ, his blood will wipe away your sins, and from that moment onward, when you begin to decree, things will begin to happen. So if you are here and you have not yet given your life to Jesus, you better come now. And I'm going to count from 1 to 7. If by the time I say 7, you are not already standing before me, I know that it's either you're already born again or you don't want to come. And don't come if you are not ready to say bye-bye to a life of sin. If you just want to come for the fun of coming, don't bother to come at all. You want to come because you made up your mind that from now on, you're saying bye-bye to the devil, bye-bye to a life of sin, and you want the Almighty God to forgive the one you have already committed. And while these people are coming to give their life to Jesus Christ, I want the rest of us to begin to think of all the areas where we are not at peace with God. All the areas where we are still struggling. Because we must resolve that tonight and be at peace with him, so that when the time comes to pray, there will be nothing standing between us and the answer to our prayers. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, come now. I'm beginning to count to 1. Now, if you want to clap for God, clap. If you don't want to clap, hold your hands. Three. Four. Five. Surrendering my life to you, I'm saying bye-bye to a life of sin. I'm asking that you be merciful unto me and save my soul tonight. Begin to pray. And those of you who are still on the way, keep coming. And the rest of us, let's stretch our hands towards these people and begin to pray for them. Let's intercede for them, that the Almighty God, the Savior, who saved our souls,
will save their own souls also. Let's begin to intercede for them. Those of you on the way, hurry up, hurry up. We still have a lot to do tonight. Hurry up. Come quickly. Please pray for them, brethren. Those of you in front, begin to talk to the Almighty God. Ask Him to be merciful unto you. Ask Him to save your soul. Promise Him that from now on, you will live the rest of your life for Him. Talk to the Almighty God. And those of you on the way, hurry up. Hurry up. We want to pray for your salvation now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray for them for another 30 seconds. Intercede for them, brethren. And those of you on the way, you must hurry up now. I want to pray. Just make sure that you get there before I finish praying. Thank you, Jesus. Don't stop by the way, just keep coming. In mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you for these your children that have come forward tonight. Please accept them in Jesus' name. Amen. Save their souls in Jesus' name. Amen. Let your blood wipe away all their sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Please write their names in the book of life in Jesus' name. And from now on, Lord God Almighty, anytime they call on you, answer them by fire. And the grace to serve you to the very end, release unto them tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to rejoice with those of you who have come forward tonight, because from now on, by the grace of God, I'll be praying for you. So I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer request, and I promise you I'll be praying for you. So if you turn to your left, you'll see a man waving a piece of wood. God bless you. And then begin to go. Don't clap for God if you don't want to clap. Please. Come on, give the Lord a big round of applause. Amen. Now, you want to write down your prayer points. Tonight, you're going to pray for at least 30 minutes. We'll keep on increasing the time, night by night. Prayer point number one, of course, you want to praise God, because His word has already gone out to you, and it's not going to return to Him void. So praise Him. And then number two, you're going to say, Father, according to Exodus 15, verse 26, I can enjoy divine health if I hearken diligently to your voice and obey. I
I will hearken diligently to your voice and obey. So I hereby decree that from now on I will enjoy divine health. Number three. Say, Father, according to Psalm 23, verse 6, Psalm 23, verse 6, if I dwell permanently with you, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I hereby decree because I will dwell permanently with you. The goodness and mercy shall be mine all the days of my life. Number four, you say, Father, according to Psalm 91, because I'm going to dwell with you, no evil shall come near me. I hereby decree, because I'm going to dwell permanently with you, evil will never come near my dwelling place again. Number five. You say, Father, according to Psalm 118, verse 17, Psalm 118, verse 17, because I will witness. I will be your witness. I will tell people about your good works. I hereby decree, I shall live, I shall not die. Number six, Father, according to John 15, verse 16, John 15, verse 16, if I'm constantly winning souls for you, all my prayers will be answered. I hereby decree, and from now on, before I call, God will answer.
And then number seven will be your own prayer request. The altar is open. You can pray standing, you can pray kneeling, you can pray sitting down, you can pray whichever way you want. You are welcome to come to the altar if you want to. And we are now going to begin to pray, and we are going to pray for the next 30 minutes. I won't stop you for the next 30 minutes. Let's go and talk to the Almighty God.